Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition and another week of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflections. And today we are in Luke 14. We're looking at verses 25 through 35. And we're going to look at an introduction to the following topic, a disciple's enduring commitment. We're going to talk about discipleship this week and the importance of having Christ be our highest priority, why that matters, how that actually is accomplished in a person's heart and life. And so let's go ahead and turn together to this text. It's Luke 14, and we're looking at verses 25 through 35. We'll not read the whole section, but we'll read a good portion of it. Here's what God's word says. And there went out great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, in his own life also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it, hold it, begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, I'd like to summarize the text with two statements, and then from that, consider a few introductory pieces that will help us, really theological concepts and practical sides to those theological concepts that have bearing on the text in front of us. So first of all, our summary statement, genuine faith in Christ produces an enduring commitment that puts him first. And so as we think about the passage, it's going to be clear that God's desire for us is that we would have an enduring faith that puts him first and translates into a life of committed discipleship. And so let's consider a few introductory thoughts. The order of faith in Christ and Christian discipleship and how those things work together, I think are very important for us to consider because this is a passage about discipleship. It's not about how you become a Christian. It's about how people who are genuine Christians are supposed to live. And really what we could say is what genuine faith in Christ produces. And so the first concept that we want to address is the question, what is a disciple? To put it very simply, a disciple is someone who follows Christ. The second question is, well, how does someone become a disciple? How do you get to the position where you are following Christ? Well, the answer is that someone becomes a disciple when they first of all come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they turn to Christ in childlike faith, trusting in his redemptive work alone. And from that moment, they are now new creatures in Christ. The word we use is regeneration. Regeneration is new life in Christ in the heart of a person who is spiritually dead. And now this new creature has new passions and new convictions that direct them into new purposes, a purpose of wholeheartedly following Christ. And so when we talk about this, we also come to a third question. Well, what has to happen in a person's heart in order for them to be that enduring disciple, which is the focus of the text in front of us? So let me walk through it, I hope, in a very practical way. The first thing that happens is someone has to be confronted with the truth. People have to be confronted by the law of God that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, thou shalt not, and what do? We disobey. God says, thou shalt, and what do? We fall short of it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Rather, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul writes, I through the law became dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The perfect standard of Christ's righteousness is laid before us, and we see that we fall short of it, and we must turn to Christ. And so as the word of God begins to work in the heart, it produces repentance toward God. And then repentance comes on several levels. It could be an issue of sin, an issue of our view of the person and work of Christ, or the exclusivity of the gospel. And so every single person, as they're confronted with truth, depending on their backgrounds and what's going on in their heart, one of these issues is going to be a sticking point for them. Perhaps all of these issues will be a sticking point to them. One person may say, I don't need salvation. I'm not a sinner. Or I don't need salvation because I can earn my way to God. where someone might say, I'm not savable because I am so far gone. Repentance is the word of God confronting the lies and our thinking being changed by it. Or someone says Jesus isn't God in flesh. He didn't really physically die on the cross. He didn't rise from the dead. He didn't die as our penal substitutionary substitute. The Lord Jesus did not. And so those are areas where a person is stuck. I didn't need Christ, or I don't believe he is who he says he is, or he didn't actually do that. And then the exclusivity of the gospel, that there's no other place that we can turn. There's no other means of salvation except the work of Christ. So a person is confronted by the gospel, confronted by the law. God begins to work in their heart, so there's a repentance toward him. And then the positive side of repentance is turning to Christ and placing our faith in the finished work of Christ. A simple trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. A dependence upon the righteousness of Christ imputed to us by grace alone. And so we see confrontation, repentance, and faith. Well, where does the convictional resolve come from where a person says, I'm willing to follow Christ with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I want to live for Jesus alone. Where does that convictional resolve come from? Well, it comes from what's going on in the heart. It starts with repentance. Our worldview has been radically changed through the preaching of law and gospel. The second word is the word regeneration. We are no longer spiritually dead. We are now spiritually alive. And with that spiritual life comes a change of perspective, comes a change of passion, comes a change of ability. I think about Romans chapter 8, where he says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. To be spiritually minded is life, and to be carnally minded is death. We are not subject to the law of God, nor can we be. Those in the flesh cannot please God. That's what he says in Romans chapter 8. But then when a person becomes alive in Christ, there are now perspectives and passions and abilities that were not in them before. And so this is where that convictional resolve comes from. The indwelling of the Spirit who works in us. He was once the one who convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's now the one who comforts us and encourages us and challenges us and says, you can do this because of who you are in Christ. And then the persistence of the Spirit who is working through the Word of God, continually strengthening us and maturing us in our faith when we're tested. And we could also even add to this that the fact that the Father deals with us as his children. So discipleship is something that flows out of a genuine faith in Christ. Through a person's new life in Christ, the presence of the Spirit, the working of the Word of God in the heart, what does God do? He causes us to desire with all of our ability to follow him. In other words, discipleship is something that follows faith and accompanies faith, and is a demonstration of the genuineness of one's faith. So what can we take away from this today? Well, what we can take away from this is that if we are truly Christians, we have placed our faith in Christ, we are really alive in Christ, and we really have the Spirit, and we really have repented and believed. And because of that, the Spirit's going to work in us a desire and a conviction that we need to follow Jesus. And so that's really where this passage is going to be taking us this week. This is where our study is going to take us this week. I hope that as we work our way through this passage, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you will recognize your need to turn to Christ, place your faith in his finished work, and then as a child of God, begin following him as a disciple. If you are God's child and you've placed your faith in Christ, I hope that you will be struck with a greater, deeper conviction that you need to follow him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I hope that you'll take some time this week to join us, perhaps share this with others who could be benefited by it, and Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. Bye now.